Hi, I'm Mandy.
And I'm Ben.
And this is Behind the Visa Window with ex-visa officers,
where we give the insider's perspective on the U.S. visa interview process. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Behind the Visa Window. I'm Ben, and I'm here with Mandy. We're Argo Visa. We're ex-visa officers who now help visa applicants apply for their visas and pass their visa interview so that they can get to the U.S. For their studies, for their business, for their travels, whatever you're hoping to do. We're hoping that we can help you successfully pass your visa interview. And, you know, I know it sounds like a cliche, but make your dreams come true and travel to America. Right, Mandy?
It's so true, Ben. I feel like so many people have so many big plans, big goals in the United States that sometimes they forget that before they can get to any of that, they have to pass this very crucial step of the process. It's a short interview, but it's extremely high stakes. It's very important. It's the start of everything. So it's basically the gatekeeper to all of your dreams and your plans in the US. And I would not forego preparing for this very important interview.
We do always hope that you pass your interview on your first time. That's the ideal situation. Honestly, the visa officers who are still working for the government, they hope that people that should get their visas get them issued on the first time. They do want to do their job perfectly, where everyone that is intending to use their visa well gets their visa, and everyone that's intending to misuse their visa, that they are able to find them out and refuse them. However, it's an imperfect process, because it's relying on humans. There's human error. They can't know everything. They don't have infinite resources and infinite time to try to figure out if you're telling them the truth. And the fact of the matter is that there are some people who aren't telling the truth, and that's why they have to be suspicious. They're suspicious, and then a certain number of applicants are going to get refused, even though they actually do intend to do what they say they're going to do. They qualify for the visa. They're going to go to the U.S. and study, to take their vacation, to meet with their business partners, but they've gotten refused. And today, that's what we want to talk about more. We talk about this a lot, but it's the main problem that a lot of our clients have, and so we can never talk about it too much. We're going to talk about what you need to do, what you need to focus on, what you should know if you've previously been refused your visa. Now, there are a bunch of different types of refusals. What's the most common type of refusal, Mandy?
Probably just sort of a quick assessment of this person's situation and deciding that they have a what we call a lack of ties. You know, perhaps they're relatively young, they're unmarried, they're untraveled, they've never been anywhere before. And depending on, you know, their purpose of travel to the U.S., the visa officer might quickly assess, you know, I think this person just does not qualify for a visa.
Mm-hmm. And if that happens, the code that they're going to get is 214B, 214, and then in small parentheses, B. This is nothing fancy. That's just citing the section of the law that gives the visa officers the authority and the responsibility to refuse the visa to anyone whom they are not convinced will use the visa appropriately, right? So it's actually the opposite of what we say in the US legal system, innocent until proven guilty. You're actually guilty until you can prove yourself innocent to the visa officer. And so knowing that you're starting off already charged with a crime, is the best tactic for going into your interview to just be passive and wait to be asked questions and give very short answers?
To wait to be sentenced.
Yeah, to wait to be sentenced, to wait to be condemned to 214B?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. And here at Argo, we propose being an active participant in the visa interview process. You want to be engaged. You want to, at every turn, every opportunity that you're given, give information that is helpful to the visa officer to decide in your favor. You basically have to help them help you, because it is much more work to approve a case than it is to deny a case. And, you know, they basically, if they approve a case, they're attaching their name to your approval. And if something happens down the line, they're going to come back and say, well, who issued that visa? So I think for visa officers, for consular officers, it's always a little bit of a risk to approve a visa. Whereas, you know, a denial is a really quick way to just say, you know what, either I know for sure I want to deny this person, or sometimes they're not even sure, you know, maybe it's 50-50, but they just don't want to risk it. And they would rather pass the buck on to the next officer to give them, you know, the decision. And this becomes problematic because then that next officer will say, well, this officer, you know, this other officer already refused the case. Like, why would I now turn around and approve it without really good reason to do so? And so this is why it's so important to start off on the right foot, to get on the right track, so that you are not someone that ends up with multiple prior refusals and difficult to explain situations. You know, we used to hear these common phrases when we used to be consular officers, you know, working at US consulates and embassies around the world, which is pretty horrifying, right? There's no such thing as a bad refusal. That's something that, you know, consular officers may say. Or, you know, oh, if in doubt, just refuse. Things like that. Were there any other, you know, statements that you used to hear, Ben, that kind of shows the mindset of consular officers and how prone they are to just jump to a refusal quickly?
Yeah, I think that explains it very well, that mentality. There's no such thing as a bad refusal. If in doubt, just refuse. It's lazy. It's lazy because they're not, they're obviously the law says, well, if you're not convinced, don't issue. So you could say, well, I have a very high threat. I have an infinitely high threshold to be convinced, and therefore I will not issue any visas. Okay, but why are visa officers there in the first place, right? They don't have to be there. It's because international travel is beneficial, right? People coming to the US for tourism are spending dollars in the US in hotels, at theme parks, at theaters, people that are coming to do business are setting up business deals where there's going to be imports and exports and trade is happening. People that are coming to school are paying their tuition. They're renting their apartment or their dorm room. Like, this is all a boon for the economy. And that's why the officers are there. So actually just refusing somebody outright because I've got some doubts, you know, or because it's a little too hard for me to figure out the situation. Yes, you may have saved yourself 5 minutes of time interviewing somebody at the window so that you can move faster, but that's, well, in Chinese, we would say that's dropping the watermelon to pick up the sesame seed, right? Mm-hmm. You've gained a little bit of extra time. However, you've lost the real, you've missed the true purpose of the job, which is to facilitate legitimate travel. That is the other thing that they say. Their job is to facilitate legitimate travel.
Mm-hmm.
That's honestly what we're doing too, right? Mm-hmm. We're working with our clients who are all legitimate travelers to help facilitate them getting their visa so that they can go to the US because somehow they've slipped through the cracks. It'd be great mm-hmm. if the system were perfect, but it's not perfect. People mm-hmm. fall through the cracks and they can get ignored there. And we're talking today about the people who have slipped through the cracks because they get refused once. And we talked about how you're guilty until proven innocent, even in that first visa interview. Now imagine that you've already been judged guilty and you go back in front of another judge and that judge sees that his colleague just condemned you, mm-hmm. just sentenced you a month ago, 2 months ago. Now you're doubly guilty, right? Because you're starting mm-hmm. off from being guilty. The burden is on you to prove your innocence. And there's already the evidence there that one of their colleagues who is trained in the exact same way, in the exact same regulations, told to do the same things by the same manager, you've been judged by them to be guilty as well. So you're starting off already, you know, on your back foot. And now both of your feet are your back feet. You got two back feet if you're going in with a prior refusal, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. Don't check my physics on that one. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is you have to go in and know the burden is completely on you. The visa officer is not taking care of your interests. There's no lawyers or agents on the outside that can take care of your interests. It's only you. And when you go in, you have to realize you have to take full responsibility for trying to change that visa officer's mind. Mm-hmm. They're going mm-hmm. to open your case. They're going to know that you were refused. Obviously, everyone should assume that whatever happened in the previous interview, whatever application materials you presented, all of that there'll be a record of that. And you're going mm-hmm. to assume that when you go in, that visa officer is going to see all that information that the previous one took down and then made a refusal decision on. Mm-hmm. And now you've got to turn that over. And from square one, you've got to convince them, hey, that other decision wasn't right. you should mm-hmm. reconsider, right? Yeah. You got to put something, you got to entice them with something, right? It's like doing sales. You've got to entice them from the very beginning to take a different approach to your case, to reconsider mm-hmm. it, to take a closer look at what you're trying to explain to them, right? Because if you mm-hmm. just go in again, very passively saying, mm-hmm. hello, yes, I'm going to study marketing, right? These answers, they already know these answers. This is not mm-hmm. novel information that you're giving them. You have to give them something new, right? Like Mandy, in your experience, when you were mm-hmm. a consular officer, what could be something that a previously refused visa applicant could mm-hmm. say mm-hmm. near the beginning of an interview that's going to make you think, oh, wait, hold on. Why did my colleague refuse them then? Because this something here isn't right, because they're telling me things that sound like they should get approved. What's something that you might have heard?
So I guess this is specific for F1 students. If you're applying to study in the US and say you got a full ride scholarship and you are one of, you know, five students to get this scholarship out of, you know, 5,000 people, and you go in with that information on your second try because you were denied the first time and you didn't get a chance to explain yourself, present that information. That would be the most important thing to bring to the forefront of the interview. And so I guess in line with that example, anything that is most positive about your case, an important highlight of your case, and you don't think that the previous visa officer had the time to understand it, you want to bring that up right away. And so sometimes people will ask, you know, what is a highlight in my case? You know, what's a positive factor? And it's really difficult to know that when you don't have the experience. You know, don't be hard on yourself if you don't know that. And this is really what ARGO officers are for. We're all former visa officers. And if you sign up for a consultation with us, we will assess your entire life, everything you've done, your work, your studies, your family life, your family in the US, your family in your home country. And we will help you understand what are the most positive factors in your case that need to be brought to the visa officer's attention right away, because you don't have that much time. And if you miss that window, you might lose their attention. And again, they will not know the most important thing to know about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish that there was a silver bullet, you know, some catch-all that we could tell you that this is what you do in your situation, but everyone's situation is different. That's why this visa process is difficult in the first place for the officers and then for the applicants, is because everyone's situation is very different. What we can tell you is that you do have a highlight, at least one, maybe two, maybe three, of information on your application that is supportive of issuing your visa, right? There is some information that you have where if you present that information, it's like, oh, well, this is positive information. Now, you may also have negative information. Some people might not have very much negative information. Other people may have more negative information. You know, things like, the positives could be great academics, top of your class, got a scholarship, won academic awards, right? Got into a prestigious university in the US, et cetera. Some other highlights that might be financial would be, oh, your parents are very affluent. They have secure government jobs. They are professionals that have high salaries. You own real estate. You're a business owner of a large business, and you've got the evidence of this. These are positives. The negatives that you might have on your application could be just the exact opposite. Poor student, not a lot of family resources, right? But there's going to be something, right? There's going to be something that's going to be the top highlight of your resume. We can definitely work with you and figure out what that is, right? That's what we do. Everyone's is going to be different, but you can also try to think about it, and use your own intuition, trying to think about what could be my highlight, what could be my hurdle. We call them highlights and hurdles. Now, because we've done this for so long, we know the nuances. So, you know, you've never been a visa officer and you've been a visa applicant at most a handful of times in your life. This is something that we've done tens of thousands of times. And so, you know, we've got this deeper level of understanding about that. So we know like the nuance of what does that sound like when it's presented to a visa officer? How does that make them feel? How does this piece of evidence make them analyze this fact on your resume? And that's what I really like doing, is when we can help someone figure out, oh, at the very beginning of your interview, when you're asked that first question, it could be anything. It could be, they could say, what kind of shoes are you wearing today, right? They can ask anything. People always want to know, what questions will they ask me in my interview? Could be anything. And it could be very little, right? They could ask one question, two questions, and then make a decision. Or they could ask you 20 questions about your cousin. And you're like, why are they asking me about my cousin? I've met him like 3 times in my life, right? You don't know what they're going to ask. They can ask anything, but you got to be prepared no matter what they're focusing on to make sure that you get your highlights out there in front of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And I feel like if you're able to get off on the right foot, you're able to bring your highlights to the forefront of your application and your interview, then it's very possible that the trajectory of questions will lead to a more, will become positive, basically, because the interview questions really depends on how the interview is going. And this is why each interview is different and all the questions are different. We can't, you know, assume that we're going to know what questions are going to pop up at your interview, because each question, each follow-up question is going to depend on your response. So if your responses are extremely helpful, they're useful, they bring your highlights up, then the questions are going to lead in that direction, ultimately to an approval. If you are passive and, you know, you don't want to, you know, you're only giving one word answers, you're not really willing to tell the visa officer very much, then that could quickly turn the questions in a different direction and have them sort of dig a little bit deeper to find reasons to refuse you. And you really don't want to go down that road. You want to manage and maneuver the visa interview so that you can help them help you.
Mm-hmm. Now that's all if you've been refused 214B, right? There are other refusals too that aren't so simple. The 214B applies to an individual interview. Once the interview is done, that's it. You can apply again whenever you want. And that doesn't mandate that the next visa officer must give you the same refusal again. They can make their own decision. There are other refusals though, where you will need to address it differently. If you've overstayed over 180 days in the US, not a 180 day stay total, but you have your usually 6 months of admittance if it's on a B visa, and then you stayed over a half year after that, then you're going to accumulate enough unlawful presence to have an ineligibility where you're going to have a ban. If you were turned around at the port of entry and they gave you expedited removal, you might have a 5-year ban on you. If you were convicted of some type of crime in the US that rose to the level where it would give you a bar, then you would be barred from the US. Now, if some time has passed, right? Or if the circumstances were very special under which you were given this ineligibility and you think that it wasn't merited, you can go in for an interview and there is hope, but it's definitely not just, oh, please, visa officer, please give me a chance. Oh, please just give me a chance. Oh, please forgive me, give me a chance. There's a formal process that has to be gone through, right, Mandy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're talking about the waiver process, right, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for anybody who has complications in their past, whether or not it is your fault or not, you may have to go through a waiver process if you have a ban to the United States. And I think so many people who have bans think, you know what, this is the end of the line. I'm never going to get another visa, but that's actually not true. You know, as a visa officer, I've issued so many waivers to people who qualify for them, but there is also sort of a special formula for how to get those. And it's not written down anywhere in the law. And, you know, visa officers, consular officers are the only people who know, you know, what sort of, it's almost like a mental and psychological process in some ways, because you can never just come straight out and say, hey, guess what? I qualify for a waiver, because, you know, visa officers really don't like being told what to decide. You basically have to lay out the facts for them and have them reach the conclusion. But it's very, very important how you do that. And so if you find yourself in one of these situations, you know, this is very complicated stuff to navigate, and you don't have to do it alone. You have, you know, a team of experts at your disposal. Visit us at argovisa.com, send us an email at hello@argovisa.com. Tell us about your situation, and we can tell you how we can help, because especially if you're in a ban, an ineligibility situation, you definitely need an expert on your side. You should not attempt to do this on your own. And we're here to help you.
If you just keep going into interview after interview, getting the same refusals, it's like you're trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. Like, it's not, you're not going to get a different answer, especially if you have one of these bans. You've got to go about it in a very specific way.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, and the good thing is, there's really never been a company like ours before with, you know, former visa officers who have insider knowledge and expertise about how this process goes, so much of which is not written down anywhere. And this is why visa officers and U.S. immigration attorneys have very different perspectives on how they can help international citizens. And we will give you, you know, another type of strategy. You know, consider us a tool in your arsenal if you're someone in this situation. And this is something that we love doing and we're very passionate about.
So get in touch with us. We've got here on YouTube or wherever you're listening to this, in the description, you should find our website, our email address, hello@argovisa.com. Follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, on TikTok. You'll be able to find us and get a lot of general tips that we try to provide everybody. And we can also help you with your individual case. If that's what you want to do as well, just get in contact with us. We can set you up with a consultation with a visa officer that speaks your language, that served in your country, that's an expert in your visa type.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.